This workshop is called From the Streets to the Sea. And with that, I give you Jimmy T from Florida.
Edmund JFT. I want to thank my higher power that I get the opportunity to participate in my recovery today. And I want to thank y'all for showing up this morning. I thought it was going to be a small crowd, but y'all surprised me. But you know, this topic is really a good topic, from the street to the sea. My brother used to say stuff like, I'm going to be in the spoon before noon. My brother was my idol, and he didn't never try to stop me from shooting dope. He just taught me the game because he knew I was going to shoot dope, so he taught me about switching and all different kind of stuff. I'm originally from South Florida. I got cleaned up here in 2003, Baltimore area, and I consider Baltimore my home because my new life, my new beginning started there. I'm a cancer patient. I'm a survivor, fourth stage. The cancer was on my voice box, and if it would have got to the other side, they would have had to put a trachea in my throat. I got a port in my chest because I messed up my veins. You know, we like to see stuff. See, we like to hear stuff. See, I messed up my veins so bad that they can't get no blood out of my veins. You know, I stuck needles in every part of my body except my neck. And I do mean every part, my penis, my balls, my feet. Everything was folded up at one time. Not bragging about the glamour of the life of using drugs, but the topic is about from the street to the sea. And see, sometimes when we come in the room and knock out the numbers, especially for that newcomer, he need to hear something that he could relate to and to identify so he can stay around here. Because a lot of time, man, when we come here, man, we not come here just because we are willing. I came here because I was crying. You know, right down Highway 13, you know, I remember walking down Highway 13 with a rope around my waist for a belt. Walking over the back of my heel of my shoes, not because I was trying to be sporty, the shoes were too small. I remember walking in the rain, I got soaking wet, I'm just peeing on myself. You know, I mean, sleeping in the rain, telling myself, if I don't move, I won't get wet. You know, all kind of crazy shit that I did to myself. The stuff that I did to me, I wouldn't do to my enemy. I'd rather kill his ass than to make him suffer the way I suffer in life. And y'all told me there was a new way. I said, you got to be kidding. See, we got a street. Every town got a street. We got a street called Avenue D. And if you ever been to Fort Pierce, Florida, it is known nationwide. Avenue D was the drag go straight through the heart of Fort Pierce. And when you reach Avenue D, you have made it. On both sides of the street, there was clubs and bars, rooming houses, restaurants, pool hall, you know, I come from that area where, you know, we used to deal suckers, you know, shoot them tees, you know, all that pig in the blanket, you know, the three-card model, all them different stuff. I was fascinated by them things. Now you see me, now you don't. Tear tapping, doing all that crazy stuff. It was a lot of fun when we first started. And I remember back in the day, around 1973, when I first got my introduction to this old new way of life, when I stepped off in the Twilight Zone in Fort Hood, Texas, when them guys was coming back from Vietnam, and I was scared that I was gonna go, and I didn't know how to deal with that fear, and I took that first hit on a Saturday evening. And I remember when I took that hit and I stepped off into the Twilight Zone, and my life changed. And that Mexican mud. See, man, I'm going to share this right here. When we came up, we said things for different reasons. Now, back in my day, we started calling each other dogs. Everybody could be your dog. They couldn't. Because, see, a dog is a man's best friend. So you got to have one best friend. You can't have a whole bunch of best friends. And we started that in the South. And I'm going to claim that we were using that word way before them rappers. Over there in California started using the word dog. Way before Snoop Dogg started talking that pig language. We used to use the pig language when we was in jail to keep the police from knowing what we was talking about. That ain't nothing new. That's old stuff. I'm from the old school. I always hung out with people that was older than me. Because if you didn't know nothing, I didn't hung out with you. So, man, I did a lot of things. It was a lot of fun in the beginning, man. And, man, I got to the point where I couldn't shoplift no more. I got to the point where, you know, I couldn't manipulate no more. So I started working. Well, I got to the point, I got tired of going to jail. So I started working. And I'm a migrant worker. And the migrant worker led me up to come up here in Laura, Delaware. And I used to pack watermelon. And we just made good money. I make $200-$300 a day. And man, I'm not joking, but you work for it. You know, and I had got to the point where I couldn't pack no more. I couldn't make that big money and mess up. And like I said, I was homeless and I was sleeping on this watermelon truck. And I had a blanket over me. And it was raining, it was thunder and lightning. Let me back up a little bit. I used to talk about people, other people, so I feel good about me. Mm-hmm. So we used to talk about people that smoke rocks. Because people that smoke rocks would go 2 weeks without taking a bath. I would go 1 week without taking a bath. So I thought I was better than them. And we used to pick at him. We used to pick at him. You know, he'd say, look at that guy there. Look at that girl there. There's a rock star without a guitar. You know, we used to say stuff like that. And one of the things is that I found that when I came in the room with Narcotics Anonymous, I found that same situation right in here. People talk about you so they can feel good about them. What's wrong with me? Why can't I just like me? Something happened to me. Something happened to you. I didn't wake up one day and say I want to eat out the garbage can or sleep in the rain and do all this foolishness. My daddy was a sheriff. I come from a good line of family. You know what I mean? But I didn't do that. Everybody in my family is not an addict. We were raised by the same two parents. Why did I turn out to be an addict? Something happened to me. Why do I keep coming back? It's for the unseen scar. It's a scar that is deep down inside of me that I have to deal with. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I just want to stop using. I said I was just going to hang out with you guys for a year. And going to, I heard my first message when I was in the VA, when a guy did the H&I. Thank God for H&I. When he did H&I, I thought he had followed me. I said, this guy from Baltimore, I stay in Florida. How he know exactly what I did, you know? So I stuck around. And trying to make the story a little short, I didn't find out I was crazy until I did the first step. Yeah, I didn't. I thought everybody else was crazy. There wasn't nothing wrong with me. But, you know, after I did the first step and got an understanding of the program, anytime I let something that don't have a brain tell me what to do, I gotta be crazy. I gotta be crazy. And see, one of the things that I share with a lot of people, I tell them quick, don't believe what I say. You better get an understanding of the program for yourself. Because you don't need this when you can't get your sponsor. You don't need this when you try to tap into your higher power and you don't feel like he's there. You gonna need this program to help you survive another day without using. So I came around, and I'm a thief by heart. And I went to my first anniversary, and I seen somebody give me a daddy. And you know how true addict is. You got one, I want one too. So I was telling one of my friends, I said, soon they lay that thing down, I'm still mine. I said, hey, hold up, Jerry. I said, man, you ain't got to steal now. I said, man, I want one too. He said, man, wait a minute, man, let me tell you something. He said, you get your home group? I said, yeah, I got one of them. He said, go and get your sponsor. I said, I ain't got no sponsor yet. He said, you do the 1, 2, 3. He wanted to tell me do all the steps because he knew I wasn't going to go for that. He said, say, do 1, 2, 3. And when you get to a year, you'll celebrate. They'll give you a cake. Now, this girl gave me a cake. That cake was leaning to the side. But that cake looked so good. It was a chocolate cake. And I did all them things, and I got me a sponsor, and my first sponsor was gay. But he knew the traditions, and he knew the steps. And he was the one in our home group that had, I think he had at that time, about 8 years clean. And like I said, I always messed with somebody that was older than me that knew something. So I knew he had been around in the program. And when I stepped to him, he said, hey, man, he said, when it come down to N.A., he said, I don't do no funny business. He said, I ain't with that crap. He said, you need some help? He said, I'm going to help you. So my first sponsor was gay. So I got in the program with him, and he went back out when his dad died. And his dad didn't accept that he was gay. So he went back out, and so I had to get another sponsor. My second sponsor I got, well, from New Jersey, and he was a stone gangster. He was a gangster. But he really knew the tradition. He knew all this. And when he come, him and his, I call it his posse, but that was his sponsee. They had them long, black, leather trench coat on. And when they fell off in the room, I mean, man, you know, they say this program is about attraction. I don't give a fuck what make you come here. Keep coming. So I jumped in his back pocket, and things happened. He got demoted on his job, and that's the first time I ever did a 12-step call. Newcomers, if you're new around here, stop listening to bullshit. A 12-step call ain't nothing nice about it. Especially when you got love for a person, mm-hmm. and that person don't help everybody in this area, and they can't help his motherfucking self. Wow. Because, see, one of the things is, when we stop doing the program don't work. And he had been in this house for about 2 weeks, and we hadn't seen or heard enough from him. And we, about six of us, you know, a lot of them were more clean time than I had. I think I had about 5 or 6 at that time. And they're bullshit, and I broke in the house. You know, I mean, fuck that. Well, Jim, you know you might go, I don't been to jail. Man, this man might be dying. I broke in the house. We get up in there. He look like, you know that brother that played with a white brother. I forgot the name of that picture. He had a long beard. The harp, yeah. He looked like him. And I'm looking at him. I said, dog, Tom. I said, dog, man. And so he had money and everything. He wouldn't even go out of the house and buy no cigarettes. So I had to leave him. I left him, and I went to Middletown, Delaware. And I heard this little short guy speaking. But the guy had so much power in his voice. His name was Marvin P. So they say, anybody knew at this meeting? I said, yeah, my name's Jim, I'm an addict. He said, how can we help you? I said, I came over here in the Ice Marvin to be my sponsor. In front of everybody, his home group. Everybody looked around and said, so now what you gonna do now, Marvin? Look, man, ever since I had 10 months clean, I haven't been in this program without a sponsor. I did my real true four-step remark. I shared that stuff that I said I'm going to take to my grave. And he shared some stuff with me to let me know that I'm not alone.
Right.
I did my seven-step with Marvin. I stayed over there in Aberdeen. I used to drive to Middletown and do step work with him. When I did my seven-step, I stopped to Walmart because now that we clean and now that I'm not stealing out of Walmart, I can walk up in there and buy shit. His sponsor called me and said, Marvin just had a heart attack. I said, man, what? He said, man, you might have been the last person to talk to him, to see him alive. I said, man, I just did my seven-step with him. He said, man, Marvin dead. And you know what? I got to tell the truth. When I first heard that, I'm walking in Walmart, I'm on a cell phone, and the first thing that came out my mouth was, what am I going to do now? No compassion, no empathy, not even thinking about him or his family or nothing. Selfish like a mother, I'm thinking about me because I did a real four step and fifth step with this guy, and I got some freedom, and I don't want to let it go. So Marvin passed away. So now my response again. So I've been going home and visiting in Florida. So my mama gets sick and I move back. I didn't want to move back, but I moved back in 2012. And my mama gets sick and a year or two later she passed away. So I jump in this other guy's pocket. He got a lot of clean time. You know the program. Caucasian guy. Our diversity make our strength. But he didn't have no time for me. And I heard somebody else share that fit me better. And this is for the newcomer, or really for the newcomer. I went to this guy and I told this guy, I said, hey man, I said, thank you for your service. You really helped me. I said, I appreciate it, but I need a little bit more, and you got too many sponsees. And so I stepped out from him and I got respect. And that's my sponsor today. Spanky is a godsend. And one of the reasons why I want to touch on Spanky and sponsorship, my transition, because see, I don't start living up here in the snow, and I like the snow and stuff. Now I got to move back to Florida where it's hot at and everything, and I don't want to move back. Plus, I'm making good money up here. I'm doing good and everything. I got two cars. You know, I got two pair of glasses. You know, I got two set of TV. Hey. I got two girlfriends. See, they told me in our cars the number say one in 2 minutes, 1,000 never know. So I figure if I get two, I'm all right. So anyway, so I get with Spanky, and Spanky hear me share, you know, a sponsor. Man, a sponsor listen to everything you said, they remember that shit.
Yeah.
So I'm frustrated, and I'm sharing that meeting and sharing that meeting. So Spanky, you know, he get with me one day, he said, you know, I'm a diabetic too. I'm all fucked up, you know. Look here, let me tell you, I'm a newcomer something, especially y'all young newcomers. Look here, getting old and being a senior citizen is not for sissies. You know what I mean? You don't know what it takes for one of us just to get up out of the goddamn baby. Y'all talk that shit. Man, I'm telling you. Anyway, back to Spanky. So Spanky said, hey man, say what you do in the morning, man, when you get up? I said, man, you know. I said, I pray. I get up in the morning, I pray and do my little thing. Sometimes I read it just for the day. He said, I take my diabetes medicine and stuff. He said, so you got that medallion there. So what's on that medallion? You say self. He said, so you do the self thing. And you say, no, he said, let me back up. You say, you say you pray? He said, I said, yeah. He said, so you do the good God thing. Mm-hmm. He said, then you take the meds and stuff, you do the self thing. Because I'm complaining about taking care of my sister and my brother. They older than me. See, the reason why I need to stop and tell you that. See, back in the day, we had antenna before cable. And I'm the third oldest. They would send me outside to turn the antenna for the TV. And I would get that antenna for the TV, and I'd let go and get ready to come in the house. They said, hey, what you did? I said, grab it again. So they got me outside holding their antenna while they watched TV. So I had a resentment of having me motherfucking there. Yeah. So my brother got that CPOD, so his cord went all the way through the house. So sometimes I just step on it and cut it out. You know, get back is a motherfucker. So now get back to the medallion, because the medallion is so precious. So my sponsor say, okay, say you did the God thing, you did the self thing. He say, yeah, I heard you be sharing about you be going to Walmart and buying stuff and all these different places, Home Depot. He ain't stealing no more. He say, so you're a productive member of society. So on that medallion, he said, you got society on there. I said, yeah. He say, you help your brother, you take him to his VA appointment. He say, you go over there and you cut your sister's yard and trim her trees back. He say, do they pay you? I said, no. He say, you doing service work. He say, service work on that medallion. I said, yeah. He said, when you do these things, you begin to change. And when you change, you get better. Because when you come to Knockouts Anonymous, we always hear people saying about, we're getting better. But what the fuck you doing to get better? Sitting in a room, every time they read a literature, we get better. You know, I hear what I'm saying. But when something happened to you and you're going through a storm, what do you do to get better? So man, I'm still in the process. I've been around the program for 14 years. I'm going to my 15 years. And I picked up one white key tag, not the brag, because I believe in the program when I first got here. I surrender. Like I say, I did a lot of stuff to myself, and I didn't want to go back to doing. Okay, I didn't want to go back to doing that life that I was doing. But I'm glad Sherman asked me to come down, because this was one of the places that I first came to a convention, and I was amazed about all the addicts here, and I was trying to see when the fight was going to break out. And I could never see nobody fighting. And that goes to show me that we can come together and do this thing on a bigger level. But my thing is, man, that I'm glad to be here. And man, I'm just trying to get another day clean. And I'm glad I made it through without fault or not. But if you're new here today, man, give yourself a break. And another thing, I didn't want to put this out here. The only kind of literature that I read in Narcotics Anonymous, if you're new here, you don't know what to read. If the literature don't say fellowship approved, That's right. Listen And because our NA program and our process is under attack. Yeah. Anytime you get addicts coming in here and want to do what the fuck they want to do, and want to use the step, the tradition, and twist and manipulate to have meaning the way they want to have, is not the way it's supposed to be. The reason why we got a fellowship approved is because everybody took a chance to vote on this, and it ain't no one person's shit. So man, if you was in a Knockouts Anonymous meeting, and the literature don't say fellowship approval, you ain't in no Knockouts Anonymous meeting. It's not me. It's not what I'm saying. It's what this book said and what you guys said. Because we just got a 12 tradition book just been made, and it took years. Y'all kept putting the paper together, kept arguing and fussing and fighting, put this word in, put this, and you finally got it made. So why should I go to a meeting and another editor that got more time clean than me bring another book from somewhere, manipulate and put some book together and say, we're going to call this a meeting and I'm supposed to get them some support. I'm not going to do that. I ain't going to knock them. If it worked for you, it worked for you. But I'm an addict. My name's JFT, and I'll keep coming back.